Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, three people are charged in connection with the death of a toddler in County Tyrone, and they appeared in court earlier today. A November election looks increasingly likely, with one government minister suggesting he'd be surprised if there wasn't one. A man and a woman aged in their 20s remain to be detained at a Garda station following an alleged stabbing in Ballybuffet last night. And Donegal County Council is seeking further clarification from the proposed developer at the site of the Cresla explosion. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will also have all the latest in sport, and Chris Ashmore has the farming news and views. First in news, three people charged in connection with the death of a toddler in County Tyrone have appeared in court. Tavia Da Costa was found dead at a house in the Windmill Court area of Dungannon last Sunday. Chelsea Keeley reports from Strabane Magistrates Court. Some listeners may find these details distressing.
Today, the court heard how 23-month-old Tavia Da Costa's death was because of a brain injury caused by blunt force trauma. A postmortem also showed bruises to her body, including to her face and head. 29-year-old Januaria Jimenez is charged with murder. He's the partner of 21-year-old Susie Da Costa, who is Tavia's mother. Susie is charged with manslaughter, while Tavia's aunt, 24-year-old Susanna Da Costa, is charged with causing or allowing the death of a child. All three defendants gave an address of Windmill Court, Dungannon. They appeared via video link and denied the charges. They were remanded in custody to appear in court again next month.
A November election looks increasingly likely, with one government minister suggesting he'd be surprised if there wasn't one. Key legislation has passed in the Dáil, while the Taoiseach has opened the door to a possible pre-Christmas poll. It all points to a general election being held next month. In Brussels, Taoiseach Simon Harris said he'll call the election when government work is finished.
I will want this government to end well, because this government works well. We've had 4.5 years, more than 4.5 years now. We've delivered 5 budgets. And I will discuss in due course with my colleagues when I believe the right time is.
A man and a woman aged in their 20s remain detained at a Garda station following an alleged stabbing in Ballybuffet last night. A man in his 30s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following the attack that happened at around 9 p.m. Gardaí say investigations are continuing. Donegal County Council is seeking further clarification from the proposed developer of the site of the Cresla explosion. The council says the current planning application does not comply with what it is seeking. Meanwhile, Transport Infrastructure Ireland has raised a number of issues with the proposed redevelopment. Alex Rowley has more.
Vivo Shell Limited has proposed the demolition of the existing building on the site of the Cresla explosion, which claimed the lives of 10 people in October 2022. The plans include the erection of a new building, incorporating a commercial building, shop, post office, off-licence, store, deli, toilets, including accessible toilets, staff welfare facilities, forecourt, as well as space for a memorial garden. A number of objections to the plans have been lodged. The TII says the application varies from official policy in relation to control of development on affecting national roads, and that the granting of planning permission would adversely affect the operation and safety of the national road network. The body says a revised layout does not appear to address the issues highlighted.
It's emerged a defective block property in Donegal, which was remediated over 10 years ago, is showing signs of deterioration again. As part of the remediation works, only the outer leaf of the property was removed and rebuilt. Councillor Dennis McGee visited the property yesterday to see firsthand the effects of defective blocks emerging again. He says this further points to the fact that scientific evidence indicating the need for further remediation measures must be followed.
What I've tried to highlight is the repercussions of not following the science. The house that I was at yesterday, they got the outer leaf removed down to the DPC level. This is what happens when you leave the rising walls in. The video subsequently showed that after over 10 years or so, that the cracks are appearing again. The wall is completely cracked from all around the house. So what I'm saying very clearly is, with the current scheme, options 2, 3, 4 and 5 on the current IS 465 scheme, are totally futile. These options will not work according to the scientific evidence that we have. And it really makes a mockery of what the minister says, in which he states after remedial work, the people will get a 40-year state guarantee. Now, I've proven yesterday and I've shown clearly that after even 14 years or less, that these cracks and these walls and these families' houses are crumbling again. This is just after a short period of time. And we have the evidence to show this here. And it just shows you the madness of the scheme on so many different levels. For the likes of people now that are on the scheme and are getting downgraded from option 2 to 5, it shows it that it's unethical, unjust. It's illogical what's happening here.
€34.6 million is being invested in 4 cross-border health and social care projects. The Peace Plus funding aims to develop new and enhanced health and social care services by COT for border regions. Michaela Clark has more.
The €34.6 million in Peace Plus funding from the special EU programmes body will go towards projects focusing on children and young people's mental health, adult mental health, frailty and obesity. The projects will focus on the prevention of ill health and early intervention, reducing health inequalities, building strong partnerships with community and voluntary sectors, and maximising the use of existing health and social care infrastructure. The aim of the funding is to create healthy and inclusive communities by ensuring equal access to healthcare and fostering resilience of health systems, including primary care and promoting the transition from institutional to family and community-based care. Dermot Monaghan, Deputy Director General of COT and the HSE's Integrated Healthcare Area Manager for Donegal, says the EU investment secured by the COT partnership will enhance cross-border collaborative relationships and networking in order to support major reforms currently underway within the two jurisdictions.
An announcement on funding for a new Buncrana Leisure Centre is expected this month. The long-awaited project is shovel-ready with planning permission in place, just pending funding. Donegal County Council has submitted a funding application to the Large-Scale Sport Infrastructure Fund, seeking €17 million to deliver the state-of-the-art facility. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, is hopeful funding can be secured.
The fund is to be announced very soon. I would really hope that the Minister for Sport sees the merit in this. We're one of only two leisure centres that have applied that have full planning permission. We're ready to go. Leisure centres are specified as a key part of this fund. So hopefully we could be very, very close to seeing good news for the leisure centre. But it all depends now at this point in the Minister for Sport heeding the will of the people of Inishowen, understanding the importance of this leisure centre and releasing the funding.
And it would be hopeful that the funding will come through, especially given Ireland's success at the Olympics in swimming.
Absolutely. Look, our swimmers brought great global acclaim to the Irish swimming, the sport of swimming in Ireland. It's very popular right now. The government have weighed in behind swimming. They've specified in the Large Field Sport Infrastructure Fund that they do want to see swim pools get built. We have the National Swimming Strategy was recently launched. So what would fit better than this leisure centre in a peninsula of over 40,000 people that doesn't have a public swimming pool? But we do have an application that we can get diggers on the ground ASAP if we can get the funding in place. So look, I think there's a huge amount of credit is due to the council staff that have brought to this point, to the Leisure Centre Committee, and for everybody who's supported this application, because I don't think we've ever been in a better place to see the realisation of our leisure centre that's lain vacant and derelict for far, far too long.
Protesters who come within 100 metres of health facilities where there's access to abortion services could face jail time. Safe access zones will now be in operation close to the entrances and exits of premises that offer the healthcare service. This includes general practitioner clinics and family planning clinics, as well as acute hospitals. The Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says the legislation will support women who require access to termination of pregnancy services.
Unfortunately, we do have examples from around the country of women and healthcare providers being harassed, being intimidated. And it's simply not something that anyone accessing healthcare services in Ireland should have to deal with. So from today, the safe access zones are enforced. We passed the legislation not long ago through the Dáil and the Seanad.
Bank of Ireland says there's been an increase in calls to its fraud line about a fake live chat scam. The bank says some business customers are being targeted in the scheme, which leads to their PC and bank accounts being taken over remotely. People are being reminded that genuine callers from the bank will never ask customers for remote access to their computer or to share a one-time code. Head of Fraud at Bank of Ireland, Nicola Sadlier, is urging people to contact them immediately if they've been a victim of the scam.
We've had an increase in reports in our fraud line, and essentially we want to warn our business customers in particular to be extremely alert to this live chat scam. And if someone asks you for a one-time code from your online banking app, they are a fraudster. Never share those codes with anyone, even if they say they are from the bank. And if you get a call like this, just hang up. Fraudsters are trying to convince people to allow access to their PCs through a fake live chat. Essentially, they can then access the business customer's online banking. So we're quite concerned, and our recommendation is to never allow a caller to take remote access of your PC.
Met Éireann is warning of high tides in Donegal over the coming days. It's issued a weather advisory until Saturday night, also warning of the potential of coastal flooding. Forecaster Andrew Dornan-Sherlock outlines what's ahead over the weekend.
Most likely it's going to track to the northwest, not moving directly over us, but it is going to extend rain and showers. They're moving quickly enough over the country, so in terms of rainfall amounts, we're not expecting anything too high, but they will be intense at times. But again, it's with the strong winds and the high tides, and then the rain isn't going to help the matters, especially near coasts.
Donegal County Council has received €10,900 to encourage the participation of women and diverse groups in local government. Minister of State for Planning and Local Government Alan Dillon has allocated almost €193,000 to local authorities across the country. Minister Dillon hopes the funding will capitalise on the increase of the number of female and migrant candidates who contested in June's local elections and see a shift in the makeup of council chambers, making them more reflective of a modern Ireland. The time's just gone 12 minutes past 5 here on Highland Radio. We're going to have a short break and then Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll begin with soccer. And Republic of Ireland boss Eileen Gleeson has dismissed suggestions that domestic-based players are overlooked for her squads. Athlone's league-winning manager Kieran Kilduff claimed this week that women's Premier Division players are not being given a fair deal. Athlone keeper Katie Keane, Cork midfielder Eva Mangan and Galway's Julie-Anne Russell are the only domestic players named in the squad for the Euro playoff with Georgia. Gleeson is without the injured cohort of Megan Campbell, Jess Zhu, Ruisha Littlejohn and Jamie Finn, while Emily Murphy is also unavailable. But the manager insists domestic players have as much chance with her as anyone else.
We watch players every single week in the League of Ireland, and I, you know, over 30 years have been the biggest advocate of League of Ireland in its inception at National League and promoting, you know, League of Ireland players being integrated into international pathways. So statements that we don't watch players are completely inaccurate.
Donegal's Tyler Toland and Amber Barrett are included in the squad, along with Anna Patton, whose grandfather hails from the county. Ireland defender Caitlin Hayes could be involved for Celtic this evening as they play their second group game in the Women's Champions League. They're away to Real Madrid from 5:45. In golf, Seamus Power has parred the first two holes of his first round at the Shriners Children's Open. Canada's Ben Silverman is the early leader in Nevada on 4 under par. Tom McKibben opened with a 5 under par round of 67 at the Andalusia Masters. Julian Guerra is the course leader there on 10 under. Now in horse racing, it has been a successful day so far for Donegal jockeys racing at the Curragh. Dylan Brown McMonagall has been in the winner's enclosure twice this afternoon at the Kildare venue. The Letterkenny jockey won the opening race on board the 5-6 favourite Cap San Martin for trainer Joseph Patrick O'Brien. In the 150 race, Rathmullen jockey Luke McAteer had a winner on board the David Marnane trained East Hampton. He went off at 7-2. And then in the 3 p.m. race, Brian McMonagall rode JP O'Brien's Bard of Avon to victory, going off as the 6-5 favourite, while McAteer was second in that race on board Jack McNamara for trainer Andrew Kieranons. In American football, Minister for Sport Catherine Martin has confirmed that an NFL fixture being held in Ireland is under active consideration. speaking ahead of last week's meeting of the Jacksonville Jaguars and Chicago Bears in London. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said he no doubt a regular season fixture would be staged here. Minister Martin's department say conversations with the NFL are ongoing. In Gaelic games, two Donegal players, Kieran Thompson and Dara O'Boyle, have been named in the Ulster team for this weekend's Interprovincials that will take place at Croke Park. There are seven Tyrone players in the 30-man panel, while Derry have three. Armagh's All-Ireland winners have a strong presence with nine, led by Paddy Burns, Oisín Conaty, Aidan Forker and Rian and Oisín O'Neill. And well, this week on The Score, we'll be looking ahead to those Interprovincials with Michael Murphy. The 2012 All-Ireland winner is part of the Football Review Committee, which was set up to enhance the new rules that will be showcased for the first time this weekend at Croke Park. Finn Harps play their final game of the First Division season on Friday. Former Harps skipper Declan Boyle will reflect on this season's campaign. Plus, we'll hear from Raphoe Hockey Club, who play their first men's league game of the season on Saturday. That's all coming up after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to weather, it'll be a bright evening with sunny spells, showers gradually easing and mostly moderate westerly winds. Exceptionally high spring tides will bring a possibility of coastal flooding. To conclude this evening's news, three people charged in connection with the death of a toddler in County Tyrone have appeared in court. Tavia Da Costa was found dead at a house in Winmill Court area on Dungannon on Sunday last. A November election looks increasingly likely, with one government minister suggesting he'd be surprised if there wasn't one. Key legislation has passed in the Dáil, while the Taoiseach has opened the door to a possible pre-Christmas poll. It all points to a general election being held next month. A man and a woman aged in their 20s remain to be detained at a Garda station following an alleged stabbing in Ballybuffet last night. A man in his 30s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital following the attack that happened at around 9 o'clock. And Donegal County Council is seeking further clarification from the proposed developer of the site of the Creasla explosion. The council say the current planning application does not comply with what it is seeking. Meanwhile, Transport Infrastructure Ireland has raised a number of issues with the proposed redevelopment. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. I'll be back again with headlines at 6. Coming up after the obituary notices is Chris Ashmore with the Farming News and Views. Good evening. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, October 17th. The death has occurred of Tommy Freel, 60 Elmwood Downs, Letterkenny. Remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest from 7pm until 9pm this evening, followed by removal to his home to repose. The death has taken place of William James Alexander, Jim, Hetherington, 17 Berry Hill Road, Artigarvin. Funeral leaving his late home on Saturday at 1:30, followed by a service of thanksgiving for his life in Lekpatrick Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining burial ground. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to Lekpatrick Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Julianne Rankin. Everyone is welcome to call to the family home on Friday from 12 noon until 10pm. The death has occurred of Kenneth Hegarty, 274 Skeg Cottages, Bridgend. Removal from Murphy's funeral home this evening at 6 o'clock, going to the Hegarty's family home in Bonmain, Bridgend. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am, and on the morning of the funeral, is strictly private for family only. Removal on Saturday morning at 10:15 to St Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11am, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Mabel Cassidy, Tullintane, Brookless. Remains reposing at her son Stuart's home, Tullintane, today until 9pm and tomorrow from 12pm until 9pm. Removal on Saturday at 12:30 to Dunkaneely Methodist Church for funeral service at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Killity Cemetery. House private on the morning of the funeral, please.
The death has taken place of Teresa Marie O'Rourke, Brighton, England, and Dunmore Carrigart, reposing at her parents' house in Dunmore Carrigart until 9 p.m. tonight and from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. tomorrow. Funeral Mass in St John the Baptist Church Carrigart on Saturday morning at 11 a.m, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. It's been a busy week on the farming front with advance payments for the BIS and CRIS schemes, confirmation that some acres payments will have to be clawed back from farmers, plus the opening of the organic farming scheme for fresh applications. Well, to discuss these matters and also to reflect on the recent budget, I spoke a short while ago with the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue. Well, Minister, first of all, money on its way to many farmers in Donegal this week. The advance payments for the Basic Income Support for Sustainability, known as BIS, and the Complementary Redistributive Income Support for Sustainability, CRIS, schemes. They have commenced and an advance rate set at 70%. This will be very welcome for many.
Yeah, it's important news for farmers across the country and something farmers very much look forward to because it is a really important part of family farm income. The standards that Irish farmers produce food to is very, very high. And in acknowledgement of that, the Common Agricultural Policy is in place. And there are funding and schemes, particularly such as the CRIS and the BIS, which is being paid this week, to reflect the work that farmers carry out in terms of producing that top quality food. And I'd committed to the Farmers Charter that we would pay on the dates that we set at the outset of the year, and that we would pay at least 90% of farmers an advance payment in those dates. So I was glad this week to be able to pay 93% of farmers a very high payment rate. And that means, for example, in Donegal, we're seeing 7,700 farmers this week, and over the next few days, they'll see their funding arriving into bank accounts. And that's just over €29 million in total to County Donegal. And obviously, it's really important for the farmers who will be receiving it, but also it's important as well. And again, the size of the funding reflects just how much Irish on farming underpins the Donegal, the economy in Donegal, and how important it is to the wider economy as well and the wider community. And I was glad to be able to deliver it on time and looking forward as well now to other schemes rolling out over the weeks ahead and being paid on the dates that we've set. And this scheme and these payments this week also follows on from the equally strong delivery in relation to the payments of ANC and the areas of natural constraint payments in mid-September.
If we look at the acres payments, we see reports that over €15 million in acres payments will be clawed back from around 8,700 farmers. What's the latest on this?
Yeah, well, we have about 55,000 farmers in acres, and it's a €300 million a year scheme. And all farmers would have received their first year payment, either an advance payment or else there were delays in terms of the administration of payments in my department. So I stepped in to ensure that an interim payment was made to every acres farmer. So back in March, farmers would have received either €4,000 if they were in the general scheme or €5,000 if they were in the cooperation scheme. And that's because I didn't want farmers to be waiting on money and subject to delays coming from my own department. So every farmer would have got payments. What that does mean, though, is that some farmers would have been overpaid because the actual total payment due to them may have been under either the €5,000 or the €4,000. So that then leads to a recoupment where farmers would, where the interim payment actually came to more. And that's the case for about 8,000 of the 46,000 so farmers who would have been in tranche one of acres. I want to ensure now that those issues, and the team working hard to make sure that the issues that were there in relation to year one are fully resolved going into year two. They are on track now to make advance payments for this year, for 2024, by the end of November. And also I'm closely assessing the scheme as well, because while it's working for the vast majority of farmers and there's very strong payments overall, the average payments for farmers taking part either in the cooperation or the general scheme, will be over €5,000. But some farmers' payments are coming out lower than that, and fully and closely looking at that, because I want to make sure the scheme works for everyone. And I had worked to make sure that everybody that applied for acres was accepted, and that exceeded the initial budget. But it was particularly, and actually the highest number of acres participants in the country is actually in Donegal. And so it is a particularly important scheme for Donegal. But and I want to see it work for everyone now. So I'm closely assessing it with the team as well to make sure that lessons are learned and that it is rolled out in a way that works for farmers.
And also this week, Minister, the opening of the Organic Farming Scheme and Organic Processing Investment Grant now open for applications. And under the Climate Action Plan, the target is there to have 10% of land to be farmed organically. And the response to these schemes has been very positive.
Yeah, it's the really strong response and a really strong change of attitude as well to organic farming. And we've seen a particularly strong uptake in Donegal of the organic farming scheme over the last 4 years since I became minister, and I've worked closely with Minister Pippa Hackett in this as well. We've seen a tripling of the number of farmers actually farming organically, and that's something we want to build on now. By the end of this decade, we want to see that double again, and I think we're on course to do that. But an important step is making sure we keep reopening the scheme for new entrants. I have no doubt there'll be people across Donegal who'll be thinking of applying, and this now gives them the opportunity to do that. I think it's working really well for the people who have applied it.
In times past, after a budget, many people were worse off. In more recent times, after budgets, people have been generally better off. Do you feel that maybe you got a bit of a bad press, that some of the positive matters were overshadowed in the recent budget?
Listen, I think it was a very strong budget for farmers. So while the economy is in good shape, and that's a very strong starting point in terms of being able to deliver a budget, and in terms of being able to try and build on people's disposable income, that then meant that there was, across the government, in terms of current spending, we saw a 6% increase in current spending. But for the Department of Agriculture, we've actually delivered a 9% increase in current spending this year. And so it's a really strong budget for agriculture. It shows the commitment, not just that I have, but that wider government has as well, to farmers and to the farming community. And it's meant, for example, that I've been able to deliver and build in a lot of the schemes that I've introduced. So, for example, for the sheep scheme, we're able to increase the payment per ewe by another €5. That will see it go to €25 next year. And as recently as 2 years ago, for example, it was €10 a ewe. So now next year will be €25 per ewe. Also, I've delivered an extra €25 as well to the suckler calf scheme, which means now that it will rise from €50 to €75. And overall now that means that for a suckler cow, we're making a payment of €225 per suckler cow and calf, which is, again, I promised at the last election that if I was successful and I got the opportunity, I would deliver at least 200, and we've taken that now to 225. And then for the dairy scheme, we have doubled the payment for the dairy beef scheme, for example, from €20 a calf to €40 a calf for next year. And then for the tillage sector, a really strong delivery of €100 per hectare to every farmer that have grown crops this year. That's from recognition of the challenges the sector has faced. But that's a really, really strong delivery. And when you look, for example, at the value of the average entitlement for farmers is now about just over €150. The fact that we're delivering an extra €100 a hectare to the tillage sector shows the commitment we have to try and support and see that the tillage sector continue to grow too. So I think it was overall a really strong budget for farming and agriculture, and one I hope, we'd certainly like to get the chance to build on into the future. But of course, in the next few weeks or months, we'll have the public will have their say in that.
Indeed. Now, the farm organisations have announced that the changes in the recent budget, which restrict access to agricultural reliefs, generally a positive reaction there, but also feeling that there needs to be a further reform relating to land inheritance because of the what some farm organisations are saying is a hoovering up of farmland by the country super rich. Is there much of a pressure there in that regard?
Yeah, listen, this is something I wanted to really address in this budget, because I think across the country over the last few years, we're seeing many very wealthy private individuals buying up land and making it difficult for some smaller and medium-sized farmers to be able to grow their enterprise. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, the very significant tax release we have in place for agricultural land, that is targeted particularly at active farmers. that worked with Minister Jack Chambers to introduce a six-year restriction in terms of ownership of land in order for anyone to be able to benefit from agricultural relief. It's being introduced in a way to make sure that active farmers will be able to continue to avail of it. But I wanted to address a situation where, you know, we're seeing high rollers in many parts of the country actually buying out land in some instances for the purposes of wealth creation as opposed to actually active from an active farming point of view. So I think it was a good step, and it's one we'll monitor closely now over the time ahead, and certainly we'll intervene further if we feel it's necessary to.
And that was the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell-Logue. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.